It's time for the TSU Football Coaches Show, presented by Freeman Webb. TSU head football coach Rod Reed and host Greg Pogue break down the previous game and get you ready for the next one. The Rod Reed Coaches Show is also brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, the Tennessee Lottery, Wyatt Johnson, and the Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance. Now, broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, TSU head football coach Rod Reed and your host, Greg Pogue.
Good Sunday morning to you. I hope you're having a good weekend. The last weekend of summer, although summer will linger a little bit longer as the temperatures continue to be 90s and above, but we're in the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. Doesn't that just sound good? The Cold Hall Studios, Goggin Cold Hall Studios, the coldest team in town. Jonathan Najjar, he is our producer. This is the TSU football coach, Rod Reed Show. Rod, good morning.
Morning, guys.
Man, tough way to lose a football game last night. The last play of the game, you fought back. It looks like overtime, and just that one last play. It was either walk off the field for Arkansas Pine Bluff or overtime. There wasn't any in between.
Yeah, I mean, they'd had three kicks blocked. And, yeah. You know, they'd had an opportunity to kick a field goal. But, you know, that was a good decision by their coach. You know, bad defense by us. But we allowed them to stay in the game, so to speak. I think that, you know, they stayed in the game on chunk plays, really big plays. I thought our kids played hard. I thought offensively we gave ourselves, again, a chance to win. But we had too many mental breakdowns on the defensive side of the ball. And you can't do that and win football games.
You know, and we talked about it last week, just the numbers. But I'm looking at total offense these last three games. Now, MTSU is going to put up 500-plus on everybody just because of their system and everything that they do. Then Jackson State, we talked about that last week, just the running of the football over 300 yards. And then yesterday, Pine Bluff, 519 total offense. And I know those numbers. And I guess I'm doing it just to irritate you right off the top of the show. But I know as a defensive side of the ball coach, I mean, you're looking at 1,700 yards the last three games.
Yeah, that stings. And, you know, I got to do something about that. We as a staff have to do something about that. But, moreover, I'm going to have to be more involved in what we're doing on the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to have to roll up my sleeves and put my defensive coordinator hat back on full time and try to get this shit righted. Coach Fisher is doing, you know, working real hard to get things done. But we've got to find out what our kids can do and do it effectively so we can be more effective on Saturday in stopping the run especially and then being able to put guys in more passing situations. I thought, you know, we played better on third down yesterday. We were able to get off the field. I saw the punter yesterday. I didn't see the punter against Jackson State. So at least we saw the punter yesterday. We're still not
6 of 13 for them, which is below 50%.
Yeah, but you want to be around 33% on third downs, and the fashion in which we're giving them up. I mean, you know, they got a 3rd and 18, and we give up 19 yards and things of that nature, and then that drive leads to a score. You got to get off the field on 3rd and 18. So we've got to figure it out, and I'll be a big part of trying to help get that figured out. But we're going to stick together as staff, and we're going to make sure that we put our kids in the best position to make plays.
Well, certainly he tried to go. He couldn't go at the Liberty Bowl and the Southern Heritage Classic. Your middle linebacker, Deshaun Bryant, the kid out of Cane Ridge, and yesterday it just became evident he was not going to be available. And then you go to a true freshman, Michael Bond. Of course, learning is learning on the job and everything, but he's made some plays, already had a sack and everything. But Terry Strauter and then Rashawn Epting, but not having that middle strong thing there, because the temptation, I guess, is to move Strauter into the middle, but then you lose him on the edge.
Right. Well, and that's kind of going to be the direction we may have to go. You know, I thought that Larry Wilhoit had a really good game at safety yesterday. We've been playing him at the nickel. So we may have to shift some things around to get some people in better positions for us to be able to make plays. And that is something that we're going to have to come up with. But, you know, Michael Bond, you know, he struggled a bit in coverage yesterday, just kind of not sure what he was doing. But, again, you know, if he's out there, he's got to make – I texted him late last night and told him, I will have you ready to play. For Eastern Kentucky, and you know, he gave me the thumbs up going back. Yeah. But we're going to make sure that we do everything possible to protect him, because Deshaun, don't know what his situation is. He tried to go yesterday, and you know, I thought it was just a sore hamstring, but evidently it's a lot worse than what we thought it
was. Yeah, by the time he couldn't move.
Right. Yeah. And he missed the Jackson State game, and you know, he was able to come back and play, you know, I think a half a quarter yesterday, and then and pulled it again. So we'll figure out what's wrong with him, and we'll move on.
I'm gonna stick with the defense while we're on that side of the ball. Ray Coggins, your starting free safety, not available because of concussion symptoms. Probably could be back at Eastern Kentucky, and Ronnie Killings at strong safety. Larry Wilhoit, again, I want to mention him. Two interceptions, one of them big to end a drive, a scoring drive by Pine Bluff. The kid out of Franklin Road Academy, redshirt junior with him. You had him started at free safety. DeJure and Nick Harper Jr., Dom Williams was back out there making plays as well. Still no DeJure Nesbitt with the, the thumb injury and everything. And how close is he?
I think he's close. You know, he had surgery after the first week after Mississippi Valley game. The doctors are saying that he could be back this week or next week, hopefully this week. But, you know, you saw some guys like Kenyon Garlington get in the game yesterday. We're oiling him up to probably be a nickel-dime guy on down the road, just in case we don't get some of these guys back.
Is the temptation to move Killings from that strong safety? And you know, first, I want
to talk. It's more than a temptation.
Okay. Is it a done deal?
It's probably going to be a done deal. Ronnie's played down some, and with the shortage we're having at backer, yeah. We're probably going to have to move him down at some Sam and just play some nickel, play five DBs and two linebackers or something like that. Ronnie can handle that. You know, he's a physical football player. He can play down in the box, so there may be a possibility that you'll see him switch some things around, especially with the way Wilhoit played yesterday and the ability to maybe get Ray Coggins back. We'll probably have to shift some things around to be successful.
Yeah, and I just mentioned this. Ray Coggins from Wilson Central, Larry Wilhoit from FRA, Nick Harper Jr. out of Ravenwood, another kid from Dom Williams from Knoxville by way of Kentucky, Garlington, Antioch, played at Brentwood Academy. I just wanted to mention, and this is just your secondary. How many of these are all just local kids with that? And I want to stick with Ronnie Killings a minute. Here's a kid out of Blackman, went to Navy, mm-hmm. and was going to on the offensive side of the ball. Didn't work out there. He transfers to TSU. He starts out as a receiver, moves over to the other side of the ball.
Couldn't catch.
Okay.
Go ahead. <No. laughs>
But and now it's having, in his senior year, he's having a darn good season. So it's all come full circle for him, and a fine young man on top of, I mean, they don't let knuckleheads in the Navy.
You know, he went to Navy, and his mom was dealing with some health issues. You know, she passed away last year or a couple years ago. And, you know, he dealt with that. He wanted to come back home and be a little closer. So we afforded him an opportunity to be here. And he's paid dividends for us. You know, he's done a really good job on the defensive side of the ball. He's doing a good job back there now. And I think he'll help where needed in on our defense for the rest of the year.
Also, I'll tell you what, we're getting, Jonathan, if you would, please, getting a few texts, if you could, to check, make sure our streaming is working and everything, because we're getting some people who are not being able to hear it on some. We've got like 14 different devices that you can listen to this. Me, I just turned the radio on the car, and there I am.
There,
so, anyway, so that's the defense. Offense, the other side of the ball, and we're going to get to some of the scoring plays. Cameron Rosendahl. Still not 100% with that leg.
No, he's not. But, you know, Cam's a warrior, man. He's a fighter. Anytime you fight through a couple of shoulder surgeries and be able to come back and play football and you're sitting out after a year, you got to like that kid. And but he's not back at 100%. But, you know, I don't think he got dinged up any worse yesterday. So hopefully, you know, he'll be back at 100% going into conference play. You know, we'll get him in and get treated. And you know, get everything going with him, and you know, continue to groom Octavius Battle, give him some reps, and hopefully we'll get Michael Hughes back in the fold this week. You know, he's still out with that shoulder injury, so hopefully he'll get back this week, and that'll just give us more firepower at the quarterback position.
Every week we got to talk about the receivers. Chris Rowland, 13 catches. That tied his own single game reception total. Him and I think it was Tyrone Butterfield back in the late 90s caught 13 in a game. So twice he's caught 13, and so he still has that. And then 13-154. What can you say about that? One touchdown. We're going to hear that in a minute. Steven Newbold, 7 for 91 and one touchdown. We'll hear that in a minute as well. But we were talking about this. You know, that 50-50 ball in man-to-man coverage, I'm saying 80-20.
I can agree.
I mean,
I always say it's a 70-30
ball.
I tell our coaches that all the time. You know, give him an opportunity, put it in the area code where he is, and he's 9 times out of 10 he's going to come down with it.
It's uncanny. Yeah. You can't coach that.
He can track the ball. That's something that's just innate ability, and he has the ability to track the ball and come down with it.
I want to run through a few other things as well. And we're going to have Kevin Mashak come on in just a few moments. He's your running backs coach, your recruiting coordinator. Just how depth – this is as deep of a running back group as I think I've ever seen you have.
Yeah, we thought we had depth on both sides of the ball, but we ended up losing some linebackers early this year, with Sonny Malone and James Green. Mm-hmm. But running back-wise, and I think we'll get Andrew Knox back next week. Sabree Curtis got back this week, but, you know, Sean McCauley to Kendrick Robinson, Seth Rowland. Those guys have been doing a really good job for us back. DeMarco Corbin has 3 or 4 touchdowns on the year, so we are deep at the running back position. And if we could keep from getting behind so early, we could invest a lot more time in our run game, which would pay dividends on what we're doing throughout the course of the game.
Yeah, and on opposing defenses, obviously they're going to focus on Rowland. They're going to focus on Newbold. And the emergencies last couple of games, Malik Abdul-Haq, the big 6'6 senior, and then Al-Malik Moore, the redshirt sophomore out of Miami, who plays big. I mean, he's 6'1". Those two guys have really come on these last couple games.
Yeah, they really have. And then, you know, Jatavius Harris transferred in from Louisville, and Jatavius has been out all year with the shoulder separation. So that was his first action yesterday in a game, and he caught one ball. But, you know, Al-Malik did a really good job yesterday. Malik Hawk caught a couple of balls yesterday. So we have a receiving core that has to be paid attention to. But, you know, once we can get that run game solidified, we didn't rush the ball as efficiently as we wanted to yesterday. But part of that is because we were behind the numbers and behind the chains a little bit.
All right, well, here's some of the scoring summary for the TSU perspective from last night. Once again, the final 37-31 Pine Bluff on the last play of the game wins it. The quarterback, we talked about this, two different quarterbacks, Shannon Patrick, the righty, and Skylar Perry, the lefty. But it was Patrick that did most of the work for them.
I don't think they have a true starter. They play both of those guys in every game, and both of them get about equal time, and then they just kind of go with the hot hand down the end. I do think 10 was the better passer of the two, and that's probably why he was in the game later.
All right, well, let's go through some scoring. Arkansas Pine Bluff gets a 7-0 lead. Taylor Porter. Taylor Porter, man, he ran hard. You got to give it up for him. 18 carries with a net 107, average of 5.9. And he ran the ball hard, and then they would take Williams and bring him in. He had 84 yards, just those two. And then they would pop Williams out of the backfield and cause trouble that way, too.
Yeah, both of those guys were dual threats, running and catching the ball. And, you know, it's not anything that we weren't familiar with. You know, we just didn't execute. And when you don't execute against good football players, things like that happen.
Well, let's do this. Down 7-0 here late in the first quarter. It's a 6-play, 43. You know, you had pretty decent field position quite a bit last night in the first half. But a 6-play, 43-yard drive capped off by DeMarco Corbin, the human bowling ball, from 2 yards out.
First and goal from the 2-yard line. Rosendahl turns around, hands it to Corbin. He's in the backfield, but lunges forward. Touchdown! 2-yard run to DeMarco Corbin. And the Tigers are 1 point away from tying it up.
Well, they go off right tackle once again with DeMarco Corbin. Excellent blocking there by the offensive line. He was able to bowl his way in the end zone. Touchdown, Tennessee State.
got hit in the backfield, as I called it, and just made the – so he made a 4-yard run for a 2-yard gain.
Well, when you we would like for it to be a little easier than that, but when you're 230-pound back, you know, it's tough to bring him down with one guy. And he can he's nifty enough with his feet to make one guy miss in the backfield a lot of times. So he's really a fullback and a tailback in a fullback's body, and he thinks that he's a he thinks he's a fleet-footed guy, but we want him to get downhill a little bit more. But he can find the goal line.
Yeah, and 6'1", 230, the senior Euless, Texas, transferred in from Pima Community College. And then a couple unanswered touchdowns, but you had three blocked extra point kicks. Khalil Jones with two. That gives him three for the year. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, when the national stats come out, whenever they do come out, whether Monday, Tuesday, he will be leading the nation in block kicks.
Yeah, he has really good get off and you know, getting in between that guard tackle area or center guard area and getting up the middle. And he's kind of crafted a niche for being able to get those two steps in the backfield and elevate. But their kicking game, it wasn't very good.
No.
We knew that they kicked the ball low, and we knew if we could get penetration in the middle, we'd be able to get a couple, especially with Malik and Khalil, the way that they have the ability to get in and block kicks. And, you know, Hawk, once we get the push, if he can get a step up into the line of scrimmage and jump up, that trajectory on the ball has to be real good to get over him.
Yeah, because Khalil Jones is 6 foot, so he's getting it just with leverage and getting
in penetration.
In penetration for three blocks now. And Abdul Hawk, you mentioned him, 6'6".
Mm-hmm.
So he's like your big goaltender back there.
Right.
and so with that, but right before half, I thought the momentum, you took a little into halftime, you drove down, and the last kick or the last play of the first half was, I thought, gave you some momentum coming in to the second half, and it's a 30-yard field goal by Antonio Zita.
5 for 7 on the season is Zita. Newberg the snap, Roland the hold, the kick. It's got the distance. And this time, it's good. Antonio Zita on the last play of the first half gives the Tigers three more, and we head to intermission with the score. Arkansas Pine Bluff 19, Tennessee State 10.
Well, and they came out, they deferred, got the ball, Pine Bluff did. You got three and out, and momentum, you could sense it, was really changing. And the next possession, a five-play, 50-yard drive, Chris Rowland, 35-yard reception from Cameron Rosendahl. And then later in the quarter, a 33-yard reception, Al-Malik Moore, good for him. Mm-hmm. His first collegiate touchdown as a Tiger.
Right. And proud of Al, you know, he stayed in there, and you know, he does a lot of the dirty work. He does a lot of blocking out there on the bubbles. But he's caught some big passes and kept the chains moving a couple of times for us this year. And, you know, just kind of back to Zita, you know, he missed one early and was able to bounce back and make that one, and you know, could have been a difference in the game on later on down the road. But Al-Malik, man, I'm proud of him, and he's going to continue to get better.
Let's hear these scores. First, it is Cameron Rosendahl hooking up with Chris Rowland on a 35-yard scoring strike.
Sabri Curtis in the backfield alongside Rosendahl. Rosendahl back to pass. Corner blitz. He gets it off and put it down. Got rolling. Close to the middle at the 15. Cuts back to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Chris Rowland, 35 yards. Touchdown, TSU. And you can add a penalty for roughing on the end of it. Nonetheless, the Tigers strike first here in the second half.
I watched that one all the way. Rowland set up on the left side, went for the deep slant, and when he caught that football, it was in the middle of the field, cut it back toward the end zone, went in untouched, big blue for the touchdown.
Of course, that's my broadcast partner, Albert Dawson, and all of these clips courtesy of 102.1 FM, where the games are aired. In the middle of that, you laughed, because when he cut it back, like he caught it, and he was at the 10, and just, he could have just probably kept running. And he broke somebody's ankle or leg on that cut in the middle of the field. Is that what you were laughing about?
I just getting the ball in his hands, man.
Yeah.
You know, when you get the ball in his hands, good things happen. And Cam's kind of figured that out, because a couple of passes that he threw yesterday, I didn't know how he got them in there, but Chris catches it and he makes stuff happen.
He threw there were two catches across the middle into three-man coverage.
Right.
Not only did they have him bracketed, they had him trailed as well, and twice, Roland caught passes from Rosendahl about 20 yards down the middle in triple coverage. And yeah. I'm not exaggerating.
That's a little scary, but Cam does a good job anticipating throws and knowing where his receivers are going to be. And, you know, you'll watch him and Chris after practice on several days where they're up there when everybody's gone and they're still, you know, working on some timing things and whatnot. So that's pretty cool to see that that relationship grow on the field.
Yeah, and all right, here's Al Malik Moore. This will give I do believe it does give you your first lead of the game, correct?
Mm-hmm. A little improv right here by Cam.
Okay. all right, you want to call it? I don't know. But anyway, Cameron Rosendahl, 33 yards, and it is the first collegiate touchdown for sophomore receiver, redshirt sophomore receiver Al Malik Moore out of Miami.
Pine Bluff 33. That's where the Tigers are, first and 10. Fake to Roland, and they add up it out here to the inside to Al Malik Moore. He moves through two receivers. He got open space to the 20, to the 10, to the touchdown. Al Malik Moore broke two tackles at the line of scrimmage. 33 yards later, TSU takes his first lead of the day.
And what a move by Al Malik Moore after he caught the football, caught it at about the 20-yard line. Instead of going out of bounds, turned it back to the inside, found open field, and took it to the end zone for a score.
Yeah, and good for him. I mean, he's starting to get it, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He is. I mean, he's accepted his role on the team, and knowing that, you know, that a majority of the balls are going to 1 and 3, but, you know, you got to be ready when your time comes. And like I told those guys, you know, you got to prepare each day, and you got to run each route as if you're getting the ball. So, you know, they talked about that in practice. I saw some stuff on practice tape last week, and we were talking about guys not running routes or completing routes. Because you never know when that ball's going to come your way. And that was a play, was RPO, and he's supposed to actually, you know, he was bubbling out there, but that was supposed to be a give. They got penetration, and Cam got out of the pocket a little bit and dumped it out there, and he caught it and made something happen with it.
And TSU's last score of the game tied it up at 31 apiece with 50 seconds to play. It's Cameron Rosendahl. This is you're down with 3:51 when you get the ball, and you got to score. You go 12 yards, 75 plays, 2:55. It's capped by Cameron Rosendahl, and once again, just an amazing catch by Stephen Newbold.
Third and 7 at the 10-yard line. Rosendahl, back to pass, floating, 1-to-1. Newbold, he's got it in the corner of the end zone. Touchdown, TSU, Stephen Newbold. The back shoulder throw from Rosendahl, 9 yards. Touchdown, TSU.
I watched Stephen Newbold on the entire play because he had one-on-one coverage here, and I knew he was going to go for that corner route because that's what he likes to do. Rosendahl right on the money. Touchdown, Tennessee State.
And there you go. One-on-one is 80-20.
Yeah, and that's tough because normally on those plays, Steve will have a two-way go. And yeah. That, again, that's, you know, the quarterback knowing his receiver. You know, they took inside leverage, so Steve took the fade route. And Cameron put it on the back shoulder, and he made a heck of a catch.
TSU Football Coaches Show, Rod Reed will take the break. When we come back, we'll be talking with TSU running backs coach and recruiting coordinator Kevin Mashek right here from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, Nashville Sports Radio.
With more than 15,000 apartments, you know that Freeman Webb apartment communities must be managed with expertise by professionals who care about the quality of your residence with upkeep, cleanliness, and safety. Each community enjoys caring on-site property managers in constant communication with the home office. 7 days a week, round-the-clock emergency service, ongoing preventative maintenance, timely response to residents' requests. You'll find each of these well-managed apartments offers a unique style that makes it not just a place to live, but a place you comfortably can call home. For more information, visit Freeman. FreemanWeb.com. That's FreemanWeb.com.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
The moment I had kids, I knew it wasn't about me anymore. So this year, I started college funds for both of them. As a single mom, it feels really good to help give them a head start in the world.
Ascend shares our profits with our members, Last year, we gave back more than $6 million. What will you do with your share? Ascend Federal Credit Union. Open your account today at ascend.org. Ascend is federally insured by NCUA.
What's that about?
Oh, the TOA cheer.
TOA?
You know, Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance.
Why are they cheering for them?
Well, they take care of more athletes in Middle Tennessee than anyone, treating joints, bones, muscles.
So if one of these players needs help, they should call TOA?
Yeah, or they can just yell, because there's likely a TOA physician already on the sidelines. They love football.
Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance, official team physician of TSU Tigers Athletics. Visit TOA.com today.
Access granted. Welcome to Flash. Ignition activated. Implementing instant play sensor system. Prepare to engage in fun at warp speed in T-minus 3, 2, 1. Flash forward to the fun with new Flash Instant Games. Loaded with cash prizes, play today and you could win up to $1,000 in a flash. The new cash-packed Flash Instant Games. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
There's nothing like homecoming at TSU. It's more than the Tigers battling OVC rival Austin Peay. It's also about the week-long celebration. From the alumni whiteout party to the scholarship gala. From tailgating to the game itself, TSU Homecoming 2019 will be one of the biggest celebrations yet. Saturday, October 19th at 4:30 at Nissan Stadium. For more homecoming information, visit tnstate.edu. And to purchase tickets, visit tsutigers.com. Go Big Blue!
Game day is every day at Wyatt Johnson Ford. Our depth chart is unbeatable. Over 800 vehicles. Wyatt Johnson Ford, family owned for over 70 years. And every new Ford includes Wyatt Johnson's exclusive warranty for life. Wyatt Johnson Ford. We are Tiger fans. 648 Thompson Lane, Nashville. Online, WyattJohnsonFord.com. Non-factory limited powertrain warranty good at participating dealers nationwide. See dealer for details.
TSU Football Coaches Show, Rod Reed, Jonathan Najjar producing, Greg Pug hosting here every Sunday morning. Last night, Pine Bluff, the last play of the game, 37-31 winner over the Tigers. They head into OVC play at Eastern Kentucky Saturday. That will be at 5 o'clock Central Time, 4:30 the pregame. Albert Dawson, myself, Craig Ladd, and Gary Dawson, then off to Jacksonville State the following week. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. We'll take a trip around the OVC here as well. But joined now by Kevin Mashack. He is the running backs coach and the recruiting coordinator for the Tigers. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well, doing well. We were just talking about just all of the running backs that you have. I mean, you're eating up all those scholarships over there. But seriously, to Kendrick Roberson, DeMarco Corbin, Sean McCulley, Seth Rowland, who's emerged here the last few games. You get Sabri Curtis back as well. Andrew Knox is about ready to be healthy. Sean McCulley, I think I mentioned him. Will Montgomery will come in and be that lead fullback type, if you will. Even a Charlie Davidson. You've got plenty of toys to play with there, Kevin.
Yeah, we got a lot of guys back there, man. And they all kind of bring something different to us. I think Sean and Kendrick are kind of the two guys that can do it all. You know, Curtis. Just glad to get him back. I think this was his first game back since 2016.
Mm-hmm.
No, I apologize. He played in the first game of Bethune-Cookman. He got hurt on the second play of the game. And we ended up having to redshirt him last year with an ankle injury. And he got hurt again in camp. So this was his first game back, really, since the first game of last season. And then, you know, Seth is always one of our toughest runners. He is a great physical downhill change of pace guy for us, which he's been the last couple weeks. You know, he gets in there when, you know, those defenses are tired, man, and he just, you know, that's all he knows to do is run hard, man, and that's what he does and that's what he is. You know, all of those guys, with the exception of Roberson, all of those guys play special teams, you know, and at DeMarco, I mean, he probably's got the most touchdowns over the last two seasons, if I'm not mistaken. Well, shoot, Chris Rosen's eating them up right now. He's catching them all, but he's got about 7 or 8 touchdowns, man, because he knows short yardage and goal line at 235 pounds to be that nifty, man. He's pretty tough to bring down. Although a couple weeks ago he broke one for about 16, 17 yards, you know, from outside the 20. This was one of his first long ones, man. So we do have a lot of guys, and you know, it's a good thing to have because they all know what they bring to the table, you know, and they all know that at any point when your number's called, they better be ready to produce.
Well, and Rod, we were talking about this. Every football is so situational, and you seem to plug in, have the ability to plug in at running back, exactly what you need when you need it. And I was going to laugh a minute. He was talking about DeMarco Corbin, you know, being that kind that you mentioned it earlier. But every once in a while, he thinks he's a scat back or something.
Well, I mean, you know, DeMarco's the kind of kid that you can also put at fullback.
Yeah,
you know, if you wanted to go with him and McCauley in the backfield and do some different things, give some different looks, you could definitely do that with him, because he's a willing blocker to be able to do that. So he's very interchangeable, and you know, like Meshack said about those other guys, all of those guys are learning to accept their roles, and all of them have been productive for us.
Yeah, and I guess, Kevin, it's just paying attention, working with Shannon Harris, the offensive coordinator. I know Shannon is upstairs, and you are part of the relay team to get the plays onto the field from Shannon upstairs to the quarterback on the field. And but it's really interesting that just at what moment what running backs are going to be in the game, because you know, you look at that, and it's, if you're a defense and how are you strategizing, you've got a plan for 6 or 7 different running backs, as you just mentioned, that bring six or seven different dimensions to the game.
Absolutely, and it all starts at practice. You know, we'll all put together what our first 15 plays are. You know, and as we're putting them together, and as Coach Harris is listening, you know, we'll kind of talk about, all right, Meshack, this is what I'm thinking here, and I say, okay, well, that's probably a Curtis play. All right, well, okay, well, now, you know, when we get to this point of the first 15, we want to be down here. So, all right, well, okay, well, that's probably going to be something that we need to do with Seth for a few plays. And then you say, hey, well, now we get down in this area, you know, we really want to play big boy ball with him. All right, so that's going to be Will Montgomery and DeMarco Corbin. We're going to do that, you know. And then anything from 20 to 20 for us, Sean and to Kendrick, they can do it all, you know. So that's kind of, we got to specialize it like that, and we personnel it. Certain personnel is for this guy. Certain personnel is for that guy, you know, and then he'll place his play calls off of that. So as we get in the flow of it, he'll say, hey, Meshack, you know, we come out of drive. We're coming out to drive. This is what I'm thinking here. Bang, 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 bang. All right, so I know I can tell, hey, all right, this is going to be your drive, Sean. Seth, you're going to be the sub on this drive, you know, and they understand, okay, this must be what we're about to do on this drive. So that's kind of, we practice it. You know, and again, we talk about it in the meetings all the time, and they understand it, so they know what I'm thinking, so they know what Coach Harris is thinking.
TSU running backs coach Kevin Meshack, recruiting coordinator as well, but you mentioned it, from the 20s to the 20s. Certainly to Kendrick Roverson has taken that lead role and really rolled with it. I after last night, I know he had 243 rushing yards going into last night. He had another 65, so he's up over right at 300 yards plus so far, and really not a lot of carries. He's averaging, you know, over 5 yards per carry, but he is the lead dog, and when he's running, it makes everything so much easier, and that play action and everything else for the quarterback.
No question about it. He, like I said, he is the bell cow. He runs it hard. You know, he can also break away, and he's got the breakaway speed you're looking for. He can make a guy miss in the open field. You know, he's caught some out of the backfield. You know, unfortunately, we had a call back a few weeks ago, but you know, he took a screen pass about 60 yards for a touchdown in week one. You know, so he is a guy that can do it all, but he also prepares the same way he plays. You know, he'll probably be in my office in about another 30, 40 minutes. You know, he comes and watches the games every Sunday, you know, after was on his own. And you know, he's a pleasure to coach. You know, he does what you ask him to do. You know, he asks questions. He wants the ball all the time. You know, but he also understands with our situation at running back that we can't do that. I very well think that Kendrick could be one of the leading rushers in Ohio Valley Conference if we just featured one guy, but our offense just doesn't do that.
Well, I mean, you know, just like you said, Kendrick is a team player. You know, I got on him last night about not getting vertical. I think he made one too many cuts. And then he came to me on the sideline and said, you know what, Coach, I should have kept that vertical right there. But he was trying to make a play. He was trying to get out the back door. And if he could have had another inch, probably get the block from the receiver, and it may have been a big play. But sometimes you just got to cut your losses and, you know, take your chances one-on-one with that safety down there. So it was he's a good kid to coach, man. And, you know, we recruited him out of high school. That didn't work out. He ended up going to junior college, and we ended up getting him back. So I'm happy to have him around.
Kevin Mashek with us here on the TSU Football Coach Rod Reed Show from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. Shift gears a little bit, recruiting coordinator. Let's put that hat on, Kevin, and just tell me where are we right now? But can you get out and see what period are we in right now?
So we're in a full contact period, so we can go out to games, which we do on every Friday night, depending on where we are. We get out to games, and kids that we've offered here in the local area, Middle Tennessee, even we went Memphis last week. Kids that we offered in Memphis, we got those position coaches out to those games to see those kids. We were able to go by the schools and see them also last Friday in Memphis, and you know, that's kind of where we are. You know, so all the kids that we evaluated in the spring that we put out offers to that we really, really liked, you know, here in this area, we go see those guys every week, watch them play every week. We try to get them to our home games every week if we can. Again, we tried to get the kids from Memphis to the game last week. You know, and then we also had a couple kids from out of the state up on an official visit this weekend. We're actually going to see one kid and his parents off today after your radio show, just to have our last little meeting with them and, you know, just to see the family. And so we're in full swing with recruiting. You know, we've identified a bunch of kids that we really, really like that can help us. We got a big class this year, again, over 20 seniors. So, there are going to be a lot of new Tigers next year that we're going to be signing. And, you know, it's just all hands on deck 24/7. You know, today is a heavy recruiting day for us, so we'll do a lot of recruiting phone calls today and on into the night, trying to get kids on the phone with Coach Reed and just kind of talking about their past high school games, how they did this past weekend, and about all their grades and all of that stuff, man. So it's a heavy day for us today.
Coach Reed has offered to go scout the NBA Innsworth game this coming Friday night.
I've heard they got a pretty good freshman quarterback, man, that I need to be taking a look at for the class of 2024 or 5.
23. Well, and let people know what we're talking about. Marcel, Rod's son, started against Briarcrest, right?
No, he came off the bench.
Yep. But started a true freshman. I always see this for high schools. Of course, they're true freshmen. They're freshmen. Right. You know, but for freshmen, Marcel got a region win for Montgomery Bell Academy, a freshman quarterback at NBA at MUS. That was a big win for NBA because MUS and Briarcrest are the two best teams in that region.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the week before he had a good game against Briarcrest, was able to come in and spark him. But last week he got his first start at MUS, and I was kind of impressed with the way he played. I wasn't able to be there, but I kind of watched it on live stream. I got a couple of texts from some coaches in some areas talking about him. So I was proud of him the way he played, and hopefully he can continue to spark them and lead them.
You know, I'm afraid, though, there's going to be a tug of war somewhere along the line. Basketball, of course, he's one of the top. I may be the top freshman in the state right now in basketball, right?
He's decent.
He's decent. that's a proud dad just holding back right there. All right. Hey, Kevin, thanks, man, as always. Love talking to you, buddy. And, and we're going to talk about this with Rod. Everything that you need to do is still in front of you.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know.
And we'll talk about that at the end. We'll let Kevin go, okay? Hey, thank you, Kevin.
All right, guys.
Yeah, and we'll get to that, okay? Because that's the way it's got to be approached. Hey, after this break, and Kevin, I'm a big fan of Kevin. He's a great guy, man. Recruiting coordinator. He left and went and worked in the Jacksonville personnel office. Came back. He loves TSU. You got a good one in it with him.
Yeah, he's a really good one. He's been with me a long time. Yeah. You know, started as a GA. You know, working in film, and you know, worked his way up. And he's one of the harder workers that we have on the staff. always available to do things and just things that, you know, that other people don't want to do, the grunt work. You know, he's always there, and I know he's a dependable guy, and you can always count on him.
Well, he's also smart enough. He hit me up when I was up in the offices the other day. He said, hey, you go to the Southern Steak and Oyster every once in a while.
You
got to like his style.
That's right.
I said, grab Rod, and I'll bring you. I think he was talking about his bride, but anyway. Okay. That's
she looks better than me.
Well, that's... That's way much. Let's do leave it like that. All right, hey, let's take a break. We'll take a trip around the OVC when we come back right here to the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
What happens to your decision making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
TSU football coach Rod Reed show right in the Goggin Coat Hall studios. Take a look around the OVC. Indiana State, a 16-6 winner at Eastern Illinois. Eastern Kentucky, where you'll be going. We'll talk about them here in just a few moments. So you're heading up to Richmond. They won 35-10 at Presbyterian. Number 23, Southeast Missouri, 56-10 win over West Virginia State at home. Tennessee Tech, 38-24 win at Western Illinois. Tennessee Tech, off to its, one of its better starts. Number 10, Jacksonville State, 30-12 over North Alabama. Murray State, 59-7 over Morehead State. Morehead State now is a member of the OVC but does not compete in football. East Tennessee State, 20. Austin Peay, 14. That was up in Johnson City as well. So with that, just Eastern Illinois now, 0-4 on the season. Eastern Kentucky, we'll talk about them in just a few moments with what they've got going on. They're 2-2 on the season. Southeast Missouri, with its win, advances to 3-1. So anyway, just around the league, I guess it's where we're headed, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been a rough start for us. I can't remember the last time we were 1-3 starting the season. But the good thing is we have conference play. We're going to get some guys back healthy. You know, we may have lost a couple of guys with Deshaun, but we should get DeJure back, and we'll get Andrew Knox back. Ray Coggins hopefully will be back. So the good thing, you want to be healthy going into conference play. And it's a new season. The preseason's over with. Now this one counts for all the marbles. All the games are important, but these are especially important. So we have to play well in conference.
And looking around, how much do you pay to the entire league, or are you just right in front of you?
Nah, I mean, you know, I look at the scores every week. I mean, you can say the next game is the most important, and it is. But, you know, you always look at, you know, what people are doing against people that are out of conference and how in-conference foes are looking against each other and whatnot. And so, I do pay attention to all the conference scores, pretty much all 1AA scores. I look at them all every Saturday night.
Yeah, throughout all the FCS with everything. But anyway, so we'll do that. We'll take another break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Eastern Kentucky right here on the TSU Football Coach Rod Reed Show.
Life is all about perfect pairings. Sweet and salty, naughty and nice, hot and cold. Well, add instant and jackpot to the list because that's what you'll get when you add Quick Cash to your next Tennessee Cash Play. Quick Cash is a simple way to turn one game into two. With Quick Cash, you'll have a chance to win up to $500 instantly right there at the register. Plus, you'll still have a chance to win the Tennessee Cash drawing later. Get the best of both worlds and get twice the fun. It's Quick Cash with Tennessee Cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
With more than 15,000 apartments, you know that Freeman Webb apartment communities must be managed with expertise by professionals who care about the quality of your residence with upkeep, cleanliness, and safety. Each community enjoys caring on-site property managers in constant communication with the home office. 7 days a week, round-the-clock emergency service, ongoing preventative maintenance, timely response to residents' requests. You'll find each of these well-managed apartments offers a unique style that makes it not just a place to live, but a place you comfortably can call home. For more information, visit FreemanWeb.com. That's FreemanWeb.com.
The moment I had kids, I knew it wasn't about me anymore. So this year, I started college funds for both of them. As a single mom, it feels really good to help give them a head start in the world.
Ascend shares our profits with our members. Last year, we gave back more than $6 million. What will you do with your share? Ascend Federal Credit Union. Open your account today at ascend.org. Ascend is federally insured by NCUA.
Game day is every day at Wyatt Johnson Ford. Our depth chart is unbeatable. Over 800 vehicles. Wyatt Johnson Ford, family owned for over 70 years. And every new Ford includes Wyatt Johnson's exclusive warranty for life. Wyatt Johnson Ford. We are Tiger fans. 648 Thompson Lane, Nashville. Online, WyattJohnsonFord.com. Not factory limited powertrain warranty, good at participating dealers nationwide. See dealer for details.
Hey, TOA. Hey, TOA.
What's that about?
Hey, oh, the TOA cheer.
TOA?
You know, Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance.
Why are they cheering for them?
Well, they take care of more athletes in Middle Tennessee than anyone, treating joints, bones, muscles.
So if one of these players needs help, they should call TOA?
Yeah, or they can just yell, because there's likely a TOA physician already on the sidelines. They love football.
Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance, official team physician of TSU Tigers Athletics. Visit TOA.com today.
There's nothing like homecoming at TSU. It's more than the Tigers battling OVC rival Austin Peay. It's also about the week-long celebrations. From the alumni whiteout party to the scholarship gala. From tailgating to the game itself, TSU Homecoming 2019 will be one of the biggest celebrations yet. Saturday, October 19th at 4:30 at Nissan Stadium. For more homecoming information, visit tnstate.edu. And to purchase tickets, visit tsutigers.com. Go Big Blue!
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Your mic's on, you know that.
I just figured that
you
out.
You were a communications major?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Is that why you can communicate so well?
I guess so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
TSU football coach Rod Reed show here in the Goggin Cold Hall studios. Coming up, top of the hour, Fantasy Rescue. And then we have the Braves right after that at about noonish, and then right after that we go into the Seahawks and the that we have that game this afternoon, Seahawks and the Saints. That's right. So here's what we got going on today. We got the rest of this show theoretically, and then we got Zach Williams and Jonathan Najjar with Fantasy Rescue theoretically, and then the Braves will be trying to wrap up its series. They've already clinched and going to be the division champion, and so got that going on. And then we have in progress, right, the Braves game will be right over about the time the Seahawks and Saints. We've got that game as well. So we've got a busy, busy day here. You got a busy, busy week. How do you? Where's your team right now? I know a couple disappointing losses. Get you know how many times you churn in your head? Woulda, shoulda, coulda.
A lot, but you know, like I tell our kids, what should have happened did happen because we didn't take care of business out there on the field. And I think mentally our team is okay. Obviously, there's some frustration there. There's some frustration by me. There's some frustration with the team. But we got to stay together. You know, we got to stay the course. You know, I think, like I said, we're a couple of plays away from having a different record. But, you know, it is what it is right now. And we've got to go in and we've got to right the ship. And we got to get ready for conference play.
How do you think the kids are doing with it? You know, everybody wants to succeed. They see right there in front of you what you play here or play there, yeah. And this thing's totally different.
I'll tell you what, in the locker room last night after I talked, a couple of seniors talked. I've never seen that before. And those guys were really adamant about doing things the right way, taking care of all the little things, making sure everybody shows up on time, and be accountable for their part. And, you know, that's one of the things that we talk about, people doing their job. So we got to make sure that we as coaches put them in the proper position and the best position to be successful. And that's going to be our task this week, to make sure that we get things continue to roll on offense and clean things up on defense.
Where do you do? Where do you go? You're the head coach. You're the CEO, and you know how that old saying that the buck stops here.
Absolutely.
And everything. So where does your involvement now? What are you going to be doing?
Well, I mean, I got to roll up my sleeves, like I said, and put my defensive coordinator hat back on because obviously we need some help on that side of the ball. And I'm going to dig back in the trenches, and I'll be I'll be really heavily involved in what we're doing defensively. You know, we're going to come up with a game plan that we feel that can be successful and putting our kids in the right position for making plays. So Coach Reed will be over on the defensive side of the ball now.
And so just a lot of different changes. But personnel-wise, I don't see – because you've got – you know, maybe a few injuries here or there, but certainly with you'd want to get Bryant back healthy at middle linebacker, mm-hmm. Getting Najur Nesmith back. He's your top corner cover. Come into the you know this season with 6 career interceptions and was a preseason all conference and all that. So
we'll get Jeremiah Kane back this week.
Okay, just with that as well. But in the groups though, there have been bright spots. But then again, lapses, correct?
Well, big plays. I mean, yeah. You know, the big play have killed us. So we got to find a way to eliminate big plays. And we got to find a way to stop the freaking run. You know, that's really been our Achilles heel. If you can't stop the run, you know, it opens up a lot of things for teams to do. So we've got to find a way to get the right defenses call, to put our kids in the proper fronts or whatever case may be to keep us successful against the run. We haven't stopped the run the last couple of weeks, and if we don't stop the run, we will not be successful in the OVC.
Well, Eastern Kentucky, you go up there, you know, they've been building. They're right there. I saw the preseason picks. You two are sort of – it was Jacksonville State, Southeast Missouri, then whichever poll it was, Eastern Kentucky, TSU, Austin Peay in the mix, right all in there together.
Right, and, you know, they're a well-coached football team. Coach Elder does a really good job with them. I was able to – I watched a couple of games that last night that they previously played. Hadn't seen this week's game yet, but, you know, they have some – they do a lot of misdirection stuff. You know, they'll try to get you – watching a lot of motion and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, they want to run the football. They got a mobile quarterback that does a pretty good job of guiding them. But I think if we can get in there and be solid against the run, we'll give ourselves an opportunity.
Big week. So what's today? What do you do on Sundays?
Work. We got to.
But it's a little bit different because you got to give the players a day off,
yeah,
right?
The players they have a day off today. We'll be in the office, kind of breaking down. Well, EKU has already broken down the last couple of games. We'll break this final game down and get the numbers and start trying to put together a plan of attack of what we want to do offensively and defensively. But today is a little different because we've had some recruits in town. A couple of commits that we have. So I'm going to go over. And,
is that where you're headed right now?
That's
right?
Where I'm headed right now. And then I'll leave there and I'll get to the office and we'll start working on EKU.
Yeah, and a travel trip and everything with that at Eastern Kentucky and Jacksonville State back-to-back as well. But it just seems like everything that you need to do to make the postseason is right in front of
us. It's in front of us, and we've got to take advantage of it. And we've got to come out with the right attitude. And our kids got to come and they got to put their hard hat on, and let's just go to work.
You know, you said something a minute ago that I should have followed up with the seniors talking.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, yeah, you don't see that a lot. And I think that's a good thing because there are times when they talk is usually when things aren't going as you want them to. So, quite frankly, you don't want them to have those kind of, you know, situations where they need to. But when they need to, they did. And I think that's, you mentioned it, and we went past it real quick. I want to follow back up with it. That's got to be encouraging.
It is encouraging. It is encouraging because now that shows me they're taking accountability for what's going on in their part in the program. And if everybody does their job and does it to expectation, we'll have an opportunity to right this ship real quick.
Well, and also, again, congratulations to your freshman son, Marcel, starting at Montgomery Bell Academy as a freshman, goes on the road and leads his team to a win over MUS. And I know that's got to be a proud mom and daddy right there.
Yeah, I think they play Innsworth next week.
They play Innsworth. You can listen to it right here on this radio station. Well, that's going to be weird. I hope he plays well but loses. Is that weird?
No.
No, not at all. All right. Hey, thanks, Rod. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
Go
Big
Blue.
And we'll be talking to you Thursday on the Big Joe Show. We do that an interview with Rod every Thursday morning, Greg Puck Big Joe Show, at 10 o'clock. As well. Zach Williams, Jonathan Najjar, they are next with Fantasy Rescued. Around noon, it will be Braves baseball leading into the Seahawks and the Saints. Busy, busy day. Hey, everybody, enjoy the rest of the last Sunday of summer.